Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Monday, happy Memorial Day. Hope you are continuing a great holiday weekend. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. And as always, here on the Jim Rome Show, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're on, as you're listening, as you know, if you're listening that way, CBS Sports Radio. No CBS Sports Network today, so we're all dressed much more casually. Alvin DeLauro's here. Garrett Riddis hanging out. Got the hoodie and the hat. No sports coat. Four of you liked it at Sports Writer on Friday, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. One of you were absolutely horrified. Well, guess what? Very chill today. But a great and focused show. Terrez Paylor, who I think is one of the best NFL writers in the country, made his bones covering the Chiefs, the Kansas City Star, a place I used to work. Now the national senior NFL guru for Yahoo Sports, going to join us in about 30 minutes, 12:40 Eastern, 9:40, those of us out here on the West Coast. Really excited about the guest we'll have an hour from now. Friend of mine, got to know him when I was in Miami covering the Heat years ago, and he was coaching. Not the most popular guy in the world. I would argue the most misunderstood Hall of Famer, maybe in professional sports. Isaiah Thomas is going to be on the program. And look, I like the Jordan doc, and I said this on Friday. Thought it was excellent, thought it was riveting, thought it was fascinating, thought it was absolutely worthy of the 10 hours that we all put into it. It was also a piece of propaganda. Propaganda can be entertaining, and we should get used to this, by the way. You think Tom Brady's not going to control his documentary? And every other documentary going forward, the LeBron James story in 15 years, will be run by LeBron's production company. But sometimes, when a guy like Jordan controls the narrative, not everything's accurate. You've heard Horace Grant complain. You've heard the report Scottie Pippen's upset. I actually talked to Isaiah about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, because, and this was on Twitter, not mine, but I love that the Jordan documentary was basically allowed. The green light was given by Mike, so he could say just randomly who he hated every episode. Didn't matter what they were talking about. There was cutting to Jordan with, I hate Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah was very gracious in my conversation with him a few weeks ago about his view of it. And we'll talk about his reaction to being made, in many ways, the villain of that documentary. And just hit a bunch of NBA stuff with the great Piston Hall of Famer about an hour from now. We're also going to, later in the show, we did this over at CBSSports.com a week or two ago, put together, all of us, Rip Hamilton, Raja Bell, me, all the writers, editors, our top 15 NBA players of all time list, and weighted it, consolidated it down to one list. I'm going to ask Isaiah where he belongs. He's a tough, him and Malone are tough because, and I could get into each of those guys, but for Isaiah, nobody else beat Bird or Magic or Jordan at their prime, at their top. Isaiah's career a little short by injury. Does he belong on the list? We'll just ask him. Dak Prescott and his negotiation to me is a lesson, a reminder, and we'll do this in an hour and change. So you think about it, and if you want to call 1-800-636-8686, when's the last time a Super Bowl champion had a quarterback that made the kind of money Dak Prescott's going to make? Don't say Tom Brady. That guy took a discount every single year to be a part of the Patriots. Has been Aaron Rodgers. That was pre the contract. You can go through it. Patrick Mahomes on that rookie deal. The Cowboys, I know, have to do it. History tells us it might be a mistake anyway. We'll hit that later in the program. Tom Haberstroh, excellent NBA writer, sees the world through as an analytics guy, will be on the show at 2 Eastern. And Jerry Harrison Jr. that same hour talks some baseball with us. We'll hit a bunch of stuff. Again, as always, Rome and Have a Take at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. Jim off today. Good news, he's back tomorrow. Bad news or good news, it really depends on your perspective. You got me. Sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. So we're creeping, it's Memorial Day. It's a day where in a normal time, and obviously the world is not normal right now, you'd be at the beach, you'd be watching baseball, you'd be hanging out with friends, you'd be mixing it up. We'd have sports as part of the deal. We're not there yet, obviously, but we're starting to creep toward it. And some things happened over the weekend that pointed us toward a return to sports, and in some cases reminded us of what those things look like. To a much lesser degree at Bundesliga, German soccer. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I enjoyed it. They piped in some sound, didn't love that part of it. But really the big event for the weekend, and I love when guys talk smack to each other. I think it's funny. One of the reasons I love this show. In fact, I went down the Jim Rome rabbit hole over the weekend. I Googled just James Kelly, Jim Rome, because I heard of James had been doing some bets, and I happened on to poor Adam Hawk getting it from Jim about tennis and meeting tennis guys somewhere. I love it when dudes talk smack to each other, and that's what the match was yesterday. The golf was fine. If you missed it, if you're under a rock somewhere, and it was for great cause, raising money for COVID-19 relief. They raised $20 million. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning in a twosome against Phil and Tom Brady. And they played best score on the front nine and sort of a modified alternate shot on the back nine. And the golf was fine. It was in pouring rain. There were some moments, but it was, and this is the thing I think that we miss about sports. And the reason, frankly, I don't want them piping music into NBA games or MLB games. It was awful, I thought, in Bundesliga. Half of what makes sports interesting to me, half of what I think we enjoy about it, is it's real. It's authentic. The competition is actually happening in front of you, and everything about it is genuine in the heart of the competition, in the heat of the moment. The phoniness of fake cheering felt wrong watching it in soccer. It's going to be 1,000 times worse if we're doing it in some NFL stadium. Let the silence be part of the deal, because that's what's actually happening. And that same idea of competition, of getting in guys' heads, of having fun, but also wanting to win was on display from the very beginning. And you're going to hear in some of the sound the rain, right? Because it was pouring rain, raining on the microphones. But bear with it, because Peyton Manning was asked about who should caddy for him. Peyton Manning already planned some psychological war seeds against Tom Brady in terms of who Peyton thought his own caddy should be was classic.
And my partner, Brady, we were talking. He would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Gronk, go wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later, come caddy for me. You know, it's hard to get to him, right? But, you know, so, you know, do you bring Eli? Could do that. You bring Nick Foles? Maybe.
Cheap shot.
Amazing. And the other thing that made this so relatable is how terrible at the start of the match Tom Brady was. Look, I'm not trying to go down the whole Deflategate thing again. It's over. But I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that all three of them, tasted so much better yesterday watching Brady struggle off the tee. I was texting with a buddy of mine who's a professional athlete. He's a Hall of Famer in his own sport. I'm not going to say his name because it's such a name drop. And I asked him, like, are you a better golfer than these guys? Before it started. He wrote, hell yeah, I'm so much better. I'm like, okay, whatever. To watch Brady just put it into the woods again, it was so relatable. That's what I do when I'm golfing. I enjoyed Tom Brady getting broken. And I enjoyed, right around hole 7, being reminded that even if Brady's not a professional golfer, what's made him the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, and by the way, he is, and they made this point on the broadcast, of those four guys, two of them are the greatest in the history of their respective sports, and that's a spectacle in and of itself. Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer of all time. Sorry, Jack. Sorry, it's true. We all know it's true. And Brady is for now. Hot take for later. Mahomes could pass him if he stays healthy, but whatever. That's early in the process. And Charles Barkley, poor child, is there, quick aside, is there a guy in the history of American sports who has gotten more grief for not winning a championship than Charles Barkley? I guess if you're going to talk that level of smack, you better be able to take it back from guys that have won championships. Chuck was talking some serious smack to Tom Brady, and Brady did what all men, true men, at the end of their youth do. He split his pants on this shot, but got it done.
Chuck. Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want all some right. of you.
Got it'll turn on. Don't worry. It ain't over yet.
Oh, go in!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Chuck, take a second out, Chuck.
Wow.
Hey.
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck.
Unreal.
Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out here.
Hey.
Wow.
That's what I needed.
Sauce isn't back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a
thanks,
tasty
baby. Brooks, take
wow.
Brooks, how about that?
Hole seven, Brady with the iron holes it out. The other thing that was amazing about this, and if you watched it, you saw it. Phil Mickelson does nothing but run his mouth over and over and over again. There's an amazing moment where, because all the guys are talking to the announcers, they're into it. Tiger's the only one that treated it like sports the way we understand it, where there's a third wall, he's not talking to anybody, he's focused. And at one point he turns to the camera while Mickelson's just yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping and says, you know, this is what I deal with all the time. One example is cut three, is when Brady is hitting an eagle putt and Phil at the end gives it to Tiger a little bit.
Off of Phil's drive here.
Do it, do it. A two. A two.
Oh.
Yes, because that's how we roll.
All right, that's a winner.
That's good, Tiger. Pick that one up.
He's back in the game, Trevor. This is a great putt.
Pick it up, Tiger, you freaking loser. Here's the thing, though. Like, we all got a buddy that you just shouldn't do that with because they're going to crush you on the course and they're going to crush you psychologically. And, you know, Phil just set Brady up because Brady still has to go to the tee again and again and again. And after another shank, you'll hear here, Tiger dropped a little barb of his own.
That could be fairway. Over on seven.
By the way, you got to really pay attention when Tiger's throwing the jabs. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be in the fairway. Over on seven.
This is both the desperation we have for sports. It is. I get it. And a reminder of how incredible it's going to be when they come back. In normal times, watching Tom Brady be awful at golf. And I'll give Manny credit. The guy was a lot better than I thought he was going to be. And playing golf, doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are. Playing golf with the two most iconic golfers or two of the three or four most iconic golfers in the history of the sport in the rain, which ain't easy, on national television for charity, that's not an easy thing to do. It wasn't great sport, right? The competition, I mean, look, it was close. Those guys, you knew that Phil and Brady were going to lose, got down three, cut the lead to one at the turn. It was close. It was really close down the back nine when he went to alternate shot, which is more entertaining. And Tiger did what he does all the time to Phil, just beat him down the back nine and beat him down the stretch. I'm not here pretending that was the most riveting sport on the face of the earth. I'm not the guy that's going to tell you that turtle racing is actually just like NASCAR and watching reruns of table tennis is a really good fill-in for the U.S. Open. It's not. I understand. I get it. But it is a reminder that for us, those of us that are sports fans, and certainly you clones, and I'm one of you, I've been listening to this show and been a fan of Jim's for as long as I can remember, it's more than watching Netflix. It's not just entertainment. It's not just something to fill the time. It's not the poker tournament I played yesterday that Garrett didn't even try to engage in and I happened to win, you know, last night for some real money. It's Garrett Ritt, producer here on the Jim Rome Show. Frayed a little poker. To be fair, I didn't send him the invitation or the details, but, you know, don't let the details get in the way of a good story. What sports are, at their best, is something in real time that brings out the best or speaks to the best of all of us. Not just the successes, but the failures too. Watching Mahomes get it done for the Kansas City Chiefs, and unless you're a Falcons fan, going back to the Falcons and watching Tom Brady, one of the most hated all-time greats to play the game, hated while they were playing, staged the greatest comeback of all time. Tiger getting that Masters after we thought he was washed up. All of these things would be riveting if it was fiction. If you're watching on Netflix, sitting on your couch, hanging out with your wife, the fact that it's real and in real time is part of the magic of why there's an entire ecosystem to sports in this country, why Jim Rome exists, why ESPN exists, why CBS Sports exists, and we all miss it. And for me, the match yesterday was a reminder it's going to come back. And when it does, it's going to be better than ever. The most likely next sport is going to be Major League Baseball. But for me, the NBA is the most interesting thing that's been taken away because we're in the midst of this season. And they're going to try to return and crown a champion. And again, this is why if you watched any of the sports that are trying to get it done, and Bundesliga is the best example, the German Soccer League. And look, I like soccer. I'm more of a La Liga guy, but I haven't watched a Bundesliga match in my life. I couldn't pronounce a single guy's name on any of those teams. But I've watched them the last 2 weekends because it's something to watch. It's something to consume. The fake noise is the absolute worst. I hope the NBA avoids it. I hope baseball avoids it. I hope the NFL avoids it. And as all this is going on, Bundesliga trying to get back to competition, all the other sports eyeing each other to see what's happening, the match going down, a little bit of news over the weekend came out for the NBA. And Shams over at The Athletic had the majority of it, and Woj advanced a little bit. And it's this. Adam Silver and Disney. Disney obviously owns ABC and ESPN, is a huge business partner of the NBA. The NBA and Disney are finalizing, according to those gentlemen, a deal to get things going in Orlando. And those of you that want, you know, your city to host the NBA, it ain't going to happen for a variety of reasons. And not just the fact that you have to have everybody in one spot because of the difficulty with the virus and traveling. Take Kyle Lowry as a perfect example. If you require Kyle Lowry, if you require teams to train, just train in their respective cities, Kyle Lowry, who's currently in Philly, has to fly to Canada. According to the rules there, he has to quarantine for 14 days before he can go and train with the Raptors. Then what, he's going to fly to Orlando, quarantine for 14 more days? It doesn't work. So there's all these logistics that have to be worked out. And as Disney, because obviously Disney is going to do everything in their power, and God bless them, you're trying to make money. So many people out of work today, we understand that, right? The need to keep the economy going. Disney's going to try to leverage the NBA to get things in Orlando as a massive hundreds of millions of dollars in free advertising for their resort that needs people to go whenever it opens back up. Good for them. But what's going to be really tricky, and what we're going to hit here in just a minute, is the survey Shams reported that went out to GMs that gives some insight into the various possible scenarios. I've been saying for a month that it was really likely the NBA was going to try to get in at least 7 or 8 regular season games to make good on their contracts to their regional television partners. But Woj is reporting, and he'd know, and Shams is reporting, and he'd know, but that the possibility, if you're a Knicks fan or a Warriors fan, that your team's not going back is very real. There are 5 or 6 possible ways the NBA is going to return. And whichever way it does is going to drastically impact exactly how this season continues. Here's what we do know because of the match, which in a normal time would be hot garbage. But because we're starving for some sports, was riveting. When the NBA comes back in whatever form it is going to be the most compelling basketball we've seen in a generation. It is going to be because we haven't had it. We're going to get into the 5 or 6 ways it could play out, some surprises, and I'll give you my view on which one the NBA should do. All that coming up when we continue next here on the Jim Rome Show. Jim Rome Show. Happy Memorial Day. My name is Bill Ryder. I am filling in for Jim. And if you would like to, actually, by the way, I don't mind. You're welcome to be mean at Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I get it. You guys were really nice on Friday. So if you want to sort of bring it back into balance, Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Rome@havatake.com. On Twitter, of course, Jim's there at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. Smack off June 19th. We have gotten into the math. We have done the physics. We've gone through the numbers. And we're 70% sure that is 25 days from now. I don't think I've missed a smack off in probably 15 years. It is listen radio. And again, coming up 25 days from now. Trez Paylor going to talk some NFL with us. Yahoo senior NFL writer in about 15 minutes. And 35 minutes from now, I'm really excited about this interview. The Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas is going to be on the program. You know, I was, as part of my daytime job, my actual job, this is more fun, but my actual job, I'm the NBA lead guy, lead NBA writer, insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ. Been making the rounds, right? Making calls, calling GMs, calling sources, calling scouts, calling folks, trying to figure out what's going on. And people will tell you about the details today of a return to NBA, the same thing that a doctor friend of mine told me about this virus. We know a lot less than we actually know. There's so much that's uncertain. Here's one thing I've been told to expect as a certainty from NBA people as it relates to coming back and playing the game. And I don't think it's been discussed enough, and I think people should just prepare themselves for it. And Adam Silver has said this several times, privately and in calls to players and the Players Association. People are going to test positive. Period. Full stop. There's not going to be a scenario. There's not going to be a scenario where the NBA returns and nobody tests positive. And so part of what you have to prepare yourself for, and I think part of what you need to, and I need to filter these options I'm about to go through with you in terms of the various ways to return, is this fact. Maybe it's the ninth guy on that team. And maybe it's LeBron James. But either way, there's going to be some impact, small or wildly significant, on who wins an NBA championship this year. Let's not even go to a doomsday scenario for a team's hopes. Obviously, if Giannis tests positive or, hell, has a fever during a playoff run, or LeBron does, or Kawhi does, those teams are not advancing. They're not. I'm sorry, Anthony Davis, you're not carrying. I guess it depends on the round, but 14 days is a long time. Certainly not if it's a semifinals or conference finals. You're not. But what if it's Patrick Beverley? What if in the conference finals, they're in Orlando, in this upside-down universe, it's Lakers-Clippers, which I think is a hell of a, in a normal scenario, I know we're not there, but in an alternate universe where this doesn't happen, that's a seven-game series to me. What happens if Patrick Beverley tests positive on day one of that series and the Lakers win? Is there an asterisk? There can't be. Got to take that thinking away. It's going to occur. It's going to happen. Some guy that's a 3-and-D guy. Some guy that's a secondary star. Some guy that's a star. Someone's going to test positive. I think that's part of what we have to prepare ourselves for. Just like talking about the match, an amateur golf game between two pros and two guys that should have stuck to football in the rain was riveting sports content because the world has changed, so will how we have to accept the idea of who's going to be our champions going forward. It's impacted sports again and again and again, injuries, right? Carson Wentz goes down, Nick Foles steps in, some crazy momentum happens. Amazing. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love get hurt, Warriors win their first championship. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry get hurt, the Raptors get a championship. We're just going to have to get our brains, unfortunately, to the place where we see those folks who have to quarantine as the equivalent of somebody who's hurt. It's bad luck, but it's part of the deal. It's part of sports in 2020. Which leads us to what Shams over at The Athletic is reporting. These are the options the NBA is weighing. Adam Silver is going to do almost certainly what he alone thinks is appropriate, though he's going to, as any leader does, take into account what business partners want. He's going to have to get the buy-in of players. Here are the options. Option one for the return of the NBA. And this will, I think, in a lot of ways indicate what you can expect if the NFL has some issues at some point and has to hit a pause button. Major League Baseball has some more problems. Advance directly to the playoffs. Go straight to 16 teams, four rounds, best of seven, postseason teams based on the standings on March 12th. Really, really bad luck if you're the wrong team on the outside looking in. And I hate it for a few reasons. By the way, I'll say this. Whatever option they pick, I'm not getting mad at anybody in 2020 for the decisions that you want to shut your sport down. I'm not mad at you. You want to be the UFC and try to find an island and get it done? I'm not mad at you either. These are unprecedented times. You can be the most cautious commissioner on earth. You can be Dana White. You can be somewhere in the middle. Look, other people can sit out there and argue about a complicated thing as if it's really easy and really binary. None of it is. That said, I hate the advance directly to the playoffs, but I'll accept it if that's where we go. The other is a playoff plus option. You expand the number of teams with the opportunity to play. Maybe you do a play-in tournament, but let's say, and one of the scenarios floated was teams 25 to 30, right? Those teams are 24 to 30, don't participate. Sorry, Knicks fans. Sorry, Warriors fans. Your hapless season never resumes. Another is a playoff plus where maybe 18 or 20 or 22 or 24 show up, and that's the playoffs. And again, you might have 18 to 24 playing various playoff series, best of three, whatever it is, to earn their way to get slaughtered by the Lakers or the Bucks. But again, not to be a broken record here, in almost any scenario ever in the history of the NBA, being the 20 seed the 20th seed to get hot and play the Lakers would be an absolute guaranteed loss. That's not the case if you get lucky with who on the other side can't play for the reasons that are obvious in this time of a pandemic. Resume regular season with all 30 teams is still in play. Resume the regular season with all 30 teams plus a play-in. So you play a few and then do a play-in tournament nonetheless. And a playoffs plus format, which is a play-in tournament featuring bubble teams for that 8 seed, right? So you kind of look at the standings and you figure out which of those teams that are in striking distance get a shot. They're going to do 2, 3, or 4, or 5 scrimmages, we know from the survey. They were asked, do you prefer 2 to 5 scrimmages? The regular season game options are 72 to 76 if they do a regular season. And again, financial pressure to get that done for TV contracts, some of those regional partners. And there's some complication and some nuance in that as well. Because on the one hand, yes, there are contracts that need to be honored. On the other hand, the regional television partners of the NBA are really beholden to the team. So if a team says, don't push to make good on this contract, that TV partner is probably going to listen. And there's the possibility of doing away with the East and the West in a postseason and just reseeding all the teams, which I hate. I'm a traditionalist. I'm an angry old man when it comes to change. I'm livid about there being no or being ADH in the National League, just the idea of it, even on a temporary basis. So I'm not a rational thinker on that front. For me, I think it's the answer's obvious. You need as much money as you can to make sure that the cap doesn't go down too much. A lot of people rely on the income for these opportunities. And I don't think it's trite to say that we need sports as long as it's safe for other people. I want the NBA to bring everybody back, pick your site, do your 7 or 8 or 10 regular season games, and then get into the playoffs. And you know what? Do a play-in. Take the 8 and the 9 seed or the 7, 8, 9 seed and do a little mini tournament. Anything to create competition, anything to create drama. If I can watch Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady looking like me on a golf course, and that ain't a good thing, and Tiger Woods in the pouring rain with at times awkward conversation and feel like it's the equivalent of watching Muhammad Ali 50 years ago today, then actual NBA games are going to be, and Major League Baseball games and NFL games are going to resonate on a level they have not in a really, really long time. It might sound a little over the top, but there's going to be some awe, I think, associated with just watching real sports. So give me as many of those games as you can that keep it safe for other people. As many regular season games. I mean, hell, give me scrimmages. I think I said this the other day. I think I said this on Friday. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome here. I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I like Dodgers fans because I used to do some Dodgers radio. I would listen to Dodgers spring training games where only 2 guys that are playing are probably going to be on the roster, as if it's my Chicago Cubs in the World Series right now. A hungry man does not complain about the food put in front of him, and I'm starving for some sports. Give me as many games as we can get. All right, I want to shift to a little NFL talk, get into Dak Prescott, get into what to expect from Patrick Mahomes, just the optimism level for an NFL season. Their business as usual, but obviously at the start of their season is much down the line compared to baseball and hockey and Major League Baseball and the NBA. So we're going to talk to Therese Paylor, my buddy, incredibly talented national football senior writer for Yahoo Sports. TP is coming up here on the Jim Rome Show just after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Chris Lopresti.
Sports Flash.
Okay, Bill, Heisman Trophy winner Reggie Bush voices strong concerns over the NCAA's recent support of a player endorsement plan, telling Playboy that paying college athletes for their names and likenesses is, quote, going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Sunday gave pro sports teams within his state the all clear to begin training camps, provided the appropriate health protocols are being followed. The Brooklyn Nets quickly announced they will open their practice facility for voluntary player workouts beginning tomorrow, and the NHL is reportedly ready to move to phase 2 of its plan to return to play. They'll soon allow players to train in small groups at team facilities. No exact date mentioned in a memo circulated to teams over the weekend, but early June is the target. International hoops. The EuroLeague announced today that it's canceling the rest of its season rather than try to reboot like the NBA hopes to do in late July. The UFC is reportedly instituting stricter coronavirus testing guidelines ahead of its return to Las Vegas this coming weekend. These are said to be tougher than what was in place prior to the 3 shows in Jacksonville earlier this month. This is Chris Lopresti
This is Zach Gelb. Coming up later, Cowboys legend Drew Pearson and Las Vegas Knights coach Peter DeBoer stop by, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Stay up after hours with Amy Lawrence, 2 to 6 Eastern. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Indoors.
Amy Lawrence keeps you company after hours, weekdays from 2 to 6 Eastern, exclusively on CBS Sports Radio. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Happy Memorial Day. It is time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show. When I might answer your question, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Thank you for listening. One of my favorite people in the business is Terrez Paylor. Knew him, met him when we were both reporters at the Kansas City Star. He is now the senior NFL insider, writer, reporter, analyst, guru for Yahoo Sports, Hall of Fame voter, and a hell of a good guy. TP, first of all, buddy, thank you and happy Memorial Day. Hope you guys are healthy and happy and relatively sane.
Hey, we're doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me. You know, anything for you, buddy.
Appreciate it. All right, so I wouldn't usually start asking you a golf question, but since we got this weird Brady Manning magical smack talk golf outing, did you catch any of it? Did you have any takeaways from watching Brady and Manning go at each other psychologically?
I think it showed how much we all wanted to just see some competition. Like, we just needed sports. And involving people who are big names, too. I saw little snippets of it. I was bouncing in and out. But what I saw intrigued me. Like, you know, Brady, Peyton, all those guys talking trash. It was fun. I do think it's a really good reflection of how sports hungry we are right now, though.
Dude, I'm so with you. And it was interesting because Tiger and Phil are obviously still competing, and Tiger in particular, but they're near the back end of their careers and not a lot more to prove. Obviously, Tiger has more to try to earn. That's different. Manning's retired, but Brady's out there, and he's beginning, even at his advanced age for a quarterback, a pretty interesting part of his career. What are your expectations for Tom Brady, the quarterback, once he gets to Tampa Bay and the games are real?
All right, I got a good comparison for you, and it's a fitting one because this guy was considered to be the GOAT quarterback before Tom Brady came on. I'm expecting Joe Montana with the Chiefs in 93-94. Here's the reason why. I think Tampa was a little better than their record was last year. Jameis's interceptions were I don't think he sucks. Like, people think he sucks. I don't think he sucks, but I think they killed that specific team. When you look at the Bucs, and again, I watch a lot of football, man, hours and hours of it. That team was pretty complete in a lot of different ways. The offensive line is better than you think. They added Tristan Wirfs, who I think has all-pro potential. You add Gronk to the, what might be the league's best tight end unit, and then you've got two elite receivers. Elite, and Evans and Godwin. This is enough for Tom Brady. It's going to be a quick control passing game, okay? He's going to be behind a solid enough line. He's going to have multiple tight ends at his disposal. He's going to have two receivers, where one of them will always be open because you can't double both. And I even like Ronald Jones. I think he's improved. And if you don't like him, Keyshawn Vaughn is a really good fit for what they do as well. So I think offensively, because of the timing-based offense that Tom probably is going to need. I know what Bruce Arians is saying right now about how Tom is learning his offense. Sure he is. But when the time comes, they're going to be doing the control, rhythm-based, quick passing stuff because Tom Brady's 43 years old. And you're not going to be taking vertical shots down the field like that and exposing him to big hits because these guys can't wait to hit him. So I actually think Tom is going to have a nice season next year, you know, something like 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, controlling the game, some big moments, just like Montana had with the Chiefs. I'm fully expecting a double-digit win season. I don't think they'll win the division. I think the Saints will. But I like the Bucs. I think the Bucs are going to make the playoffs, and I think the Bucs have a chance to make a run. I also think that because their defense is young in the secondary, but they're talented. And I think Lavonte David's still a stud, and I think they've got a lot going on defensively. Now, the defensive line's got a role. Like, they need those guys to play really well. But if they get the edge rush with Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul and some younger guys step up, I think the Bucs have a chance to have a really nice season next year. I'm in on the Bucs.
Trez Paylor here on the show on Twitter at Trez Paylor. Read him at Yahoo Sports. I love the Chiefs comparison. And if memory serves, and I should know this since I worked and lived there, that Chiefs team back when Montana went, won 11 games, made that conference championship game, lost when Montana got hurt. So if this Tampa Bay team, if you think a similar Brady and a similar Tampa Bay team can be that competitive, let me ask you this, Trez. Who makes a Super Bowl next, if either do? Bill Belichick as a head coach or Tom Brady in the few remaining years he has left as a player?
I would say Brady, and here's why. I don't think the Patriots that's constructed right now are going to make the Super Bowl this year or next year, but that doesn't mean I think the Patriots are going to be bad. I actually like the Patriots a lot more than a lot of people. You know, I think this whole Patriots are going to stink thing, this is wishful thinking. When a football team in the National Football League is run competently, and not just competently, superbly, they're going to be competitive because there are a lot of little built-in advantages that you can find and create for yourself if you're smart, which I think we can all agree Bill Belichick is. They're not tanking. They're not going to be bad next year. This team will win at least 9 games. Clearly, they see something in Jared Stidham they like. Again, this is going to be a quick control passing game, but I bet you that the Patriots lean on the short pass to the running backs and their run game. They're going to run the football next year, and that's fine. In fact, that's what they've been the last few years with Tom Brady. I think this team is primed to be a prime Ewing theory candidate. They're not going to play a whole lot different than they played with Brady, to be honest. And they return a lot of good players from the league's top defense. Now, people are like, oh, they're losing. Oh, they lost Kyle Van Noy. You know, oh, they lost Landon Roberts. Oh, yeah, guys, I got it. And they lost another linebacker that was pretty good as well, right? Like, I got it, but Jamie Collins. But everyone else basically returns on the defense, and they added Adrian Phillips, who's a really good player in the sub package. They're going to be fine. They're going to be in nickel most of the time. They're not going to miss the linebackers. And they've got two young edge rushers I want people to keep an eye on, and Chase Winovich and Josh Uche from Michigan. Now, I'm from Michigan. I watch a lot of Michigan. Both those guys can play. Both those guys are going to be good.
Trez Paylor here on the show. Trez, Dak Prescott, almost certainly at some point, franchise tag or otherwise, is going to make a whole bunch of money. And that means the Cowboys are going to have a lot of cash invested in a quarterback, in a receiver, and in a running back. That doesn't always add up to a recipe for success when you've got so much of your cap tied up in those three positions. What is your optimism level if you're a Cowboys fan to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years?
I'm going to be candid with you, Bill. I love the talent offensively. Right? Like, I even like the center they drafted from Wisconsin. I think he's going to be a good player for them, and they need that after Travis Frederick retired. There's a lot around Dak Prescott, and I do think they should pay him. I just don't think the head coaching hire was inspired. You know, you're still have the same offensive coordinator. Like, I get it. Like, I understand on paper what they're trying to do. I just don't think it was an inspired hire. It's hard to – no, even if you're keeping Kellen Moore, the head coach in McCarthy still has his offensive philosophy and the way he wants to do things, okay? So, at the end of the day, that's going to trump kind of whatever familiarity they kind of had there with Dak. I still think he'll have a good season. I think the Cowboys will be fine. You know, they'll win 9 or 10 games. You know, they'll be fine. But they lost a lot defensively. They lost a lot defensively. You know, Byron Jones, you know, even guys like Jeff Heath contributed to that team. They lost a lot. And, you know, the guy they brought in would have been great to have him like 3 years ago, 4 years. I think the Cowboys would be fine, but I think Philly did what they needed to do to kind of recapture control of that deep, that division. They drafted Jalen Reagor, who's a star. Like, he's going to be a stud. John Hightower, a lot of speed right now for the Eagles, and that's what they needed. I like where the Eagles are positioned. Now, anything can happen in football. Maybe Mike McCarthy surprises me, but not crazy about how much they lost. Wasn't crazy about that head coaching hire.
Trez Paylor here on the show. TP, by the way, and other people want to hear this. Many people are listening to the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in, including my wife, who just texted me, Trez is really good and dynamic. I hate football, and he's making me excited about it. I've never gotten that from my wife. She doesn't even like sports when I talk about it.
Man. Your wife. Well, your wife, the mutual respect and love is awesome, because your wife is fantastic. Tell her I said, hi, Lori. How yeah, you there you doing?
Go. Tell her yourself. Is your mom listening, too?
Yeah. She might be, yeah.
In Detroit? Hey, Mom. Hey.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy day, TP's mom. All right, last one for you. What, look, I know when we talk about COVID-19 and the future in any respect, sports or otherwise, we don't know, right? I understand it's guesswork, but your best guess, obviously educated based on how many sources you have, what an NFL season looks like this upcoming year when we actually get to games?
I don't think they'll be able to play with full stadiums. I don't have to tell you this, Bill. I mean, you've covered these leagues, you know. This is the greediest league in the world. And it has the most workmanlike workforce of any of these sports, these NFL players. There's more players than any other league, which means 60% of them make league minimum. What does that mean? That means they need to play to get paid. They're going to play games. The players want to play. The owners obviously need to play. They're still going to take a massive revenue hit if they don't have fans in the stadiums. A significant amount of fans in the stadiums is normal, but they don't want to see what reality is if they can't play. You know, they need to play games so these television contracts stay enforced and they get the money from that, you know? So, they'll find a way. The country's opening up now. People, for better or worse, are out here because it's summer and they're throwing caution to the wind a little bit. They're going to keep that same energy for football, Bill. You've been to these stadiums. You know what it's like. Game day, it means a lot to a lot of people to get out there and tailgate on Sunday morning. So, you know, there will be football in the fall. I feel good about. And I think they'll find a way to have fans in the stadiums, too, because, like, neither the owners nor the players can take the massive revenue hit that will come by not having fans in the stadiums. Like, I think they'll figure out a way to do it. They'll figure out a way to make the fans that do come agree to
love it to
not have some sort of liability, but you know, never, ever, 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 ever bet against money.
I'm on the side of money. Trez Paylor, it is great to hear your voice. Appreciate the time, and thanks for doing what you always do, and that's crushing it, man. Appreciate you being on,
brother. Anytime, man. You know that.
Thanks, TP. See you, buddy. Trez Paylor on the show. Follow Trez on Twitter at Trez Paylor. If you're not familiar with him, here's one indication what he's about. This guy called Patrick Mahomes a year before anybody had heard of him when Alex Smith and that Chiefs team were 5-0. TP is as good as it gets in the National Football League and a hell of a dude on top of that. All right, we're going to go from one great guest to another. Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, joining me, Bill Ryder, in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.